भगवान फील्स दैट दिस पर्टिकुलर टॉपिक ऑफ इक्वानिमिटी इज वेरी वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट एंड नीड्स मोर एम्फेसिस. सो द नेक्स्ट वर्स 57 इज हैमरिंग दिस सेम पॉइंट फर्दर. यस्सर्वत्रानभिस्नेह तत्तत्प्राप्य शुभाशुभम् नाभिनन्दति न त्वेष्टि तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठिता. सो टुगेदर यस्सर्वत्रानभिस्नेहः तत्तत्प्राप्य शुभाशुभम् नाभिनन्दति न त्वेष्टि तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठिता. सो दिस लाइन इज रिपीटेड सेवरल टाइम्स. तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठिता. तस्य मीन्स ऑफ दिस इंडिविजुअल. प्रज्ञा हिज और हर विजडम. प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठितः. सो सच अ पर्सन इज फर्मली एस्टैब्लिश्ड इन विजडम और पर्सन ऑफ स्टडी विजडम. सो हु यह व्हेन दे यूज द वर्ड यह इज अ संस्कृत प्रोनाउन मीन्स हूएवर दैट पर्सन मे बी मेल और फीमेल मे बी यंग और ओल्ड मे बी शॉर्ट और टॉल मे बी ब्लैक और व्हाइट मे बी इंडियन अमेरिकन Japanese, it doesn't matter. Whoever that individual may be, yaha means whoever that person is, sarvatra, everywhere, anabhisneha. Sneha is a word which means love, affection. Abhisneha means excessive love and affection, too much. And anabhisneha means without too much love and affection, so detached. Such a person remains detached sarvatra in all situations, all sarvatra everywhere, no matter where this person is, whether it's morning, noon, night, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whether he's in India, Africa, America, wherever this person is. Tat-tat, even whenever he gets prapya, means gets shubha or ashubha. Shubha means good things, ashubha means bad things happening. Na abhinandati, does not congratulate himself. Wow, you know, I did such a great job, I am so good, when things are going well. And when things are not going well, ashubham dveshti. I hate it. Why does this have to happen to me alone? Why is my neighbor doing so well? I work so hard and this guy, he's, you know, he got a new car and he's so successful. So that's what we do. In good situations, we congratulate ourselves and we become full of pride. And when things are not going well, we hate it. So Gurudev in his commentary says that both are a problem. Attachment and detachment. Attachment, of course, we know is a problem. Attachment means I depend on something to make me happy, and without that, my life is incomplete, I'll be miserable, and I need that to make me happy. But detachment, people always say vairagya is good, right? Vairagya or detachment is good if it's done with the right attitude. Like Arjuna wanted to run away. He said, I want to leave this. I want to detach. I want to go to the forest and I want to meditate. I do not want to fight this war. So not performing your duty, which you are supposed to do, and doing it for the wrong reason is called detachment, where he is running away from the world. Running away from a problematic situation instead of standing there and facing the situation. So one detachment is like what Buddha had, where he had absolute detachment from this world and said, I want to find a problem, way out of this problem. Or we look at Mirabai's life or Tukaram or Narsimha Mehta or all these Jesus, all these great saints, realized that the world cannot give them happiness, and they sought for happiness in the higher. But you and me, when we are dealing with the world, we cannot run away. We cannot leave our family responsibilities, our work responsibilities. So Gurudev says this, such an individual meets all responsibilities and problems with equipoise. Yes, there will be success, there will be failure, joy and sorrow, and that is called true freedom, where freedom is that this person is not running away. He meets all life's problems. Problems will come, difficulties will come, but the person is calm. Why? Because he does not, the world cannot give him anything. This reminds me of a beautiful story of a Zen master. When he turned 70, one of his students brought this huge box, you know, wrapped in paper, and then with a red ribbon tied on top of it, like a bow, beautiful gift wrapping. So the Zen master opens it, he pulls the ribbon, he opens it, he opens the paper, he opens the box, and there's nothing in it. He said, ah, that's exactly what I wanted. See, because he said he wants nothing. He said, thank you for this gift. See, you and I, we are always looking for something to for us to get. But he said, you cannot give me anything that will make me more happy than I already am. He's already in that happiness, in that bliss, because he has discovered it within. So you cannot add to his joy or subtract. I've given this example many times. Suppose somebody is a millionaire. If he loses a penny, will he cry? Or if he gains a penny, will he start dancing? No, because he has so much. So this Zen master or this man of wisdom has so much joy within. You cannot add to his joy by giving him some paltry things, or you cannot take away from his joy by giving him some sorrow. For him, he is a millionaire, and these paltry joys and sorrows of the world cannot affect this individual. That's how. So again, this teaching is, well, one is, of course, we admire these men of wisdom, but the main reason we should study these is that, where do I fit? Do I get affected by joys and sorrows? Does my mind get disturbed? Do I become happy and unhappy? I am fine, whatever the situation is. That mantra we should adopt. I am fine. And whoever talks to you, actually, my father, I learned that from him. He has constant back pain. He's had multiple fractures. He's 93. He walks with a walker. And you call him, I'm fine. I've never heard him complain on the phone. When he was young and now he's old, oh, everything is going well. And I am so surprised. You know, he is in constant pain and still on the phone. So that becomes words, you know, that we have to follow. Start saying, I'm fine. Anybody asks you, I'm fine. Yes, if somebody has more detail, yeah, this thing is not going well, but I am fine. Why? Because I am established in this inner wisdom. So, as I said, sneha means love. It comes from the root sneha. Sneha means chipku, attachment. So, excessive attachment to something, that's the exact translation of sneha is chipku. So, one who is so holds on to something that cannot let go, and that leads to sorrow. So, they say your life should be like a sannyasi. You know, a true sannyasi, he says, tamandu lekar chal pade. So a sannyasi truly never stays more than one day in one place. That's what Sukhdevji used to do that. So the point is that by staying somewhere, I should not get, of course, we have a home and you cannot give up your home and run away. But the idea should be that this home doesn't belong to me. I'm a tenant. This home belongs to the Lord, even if I have paid it and I'm here temporarily. And when it's time to leave, like a sannyasi, I drop it and leave. So then people say, you know, but you mean we should not have any fun? Like you're watching football, right? And your team is winning. You should be the same and team is losing. You should be the same. Well, that will happen. It's okay. Sometime my team wins, sometime my team loses. In fact, I was hearing somewhere that on Sunday night, maximum violence against women happens in the United States on Sunday night. Maximum domestic violence. Why? Because if my team lost and they have been drinking so much beer and watching the game with friends, and they are so mad because their team lost, they are so, and they go home and they take it out on the wife, take it out on the children. So the point is that yes, the teams will win and lose. So, but if I'm watching a game where I am not affected, I don't care about either of the two teams, then I appreciate the game. Yes, if the game is close, if it's going well, I'm happy. And at the end of the game, one loses and one wins. So go through life like a witness. And what will happen, especially in your mind, we find that mind will very much disturb us. I'm very disturbed. I'm so confused. I'm so agitated. I'm so stressed. And that happens because the mind takes over us. But if I become a witness of the mind, and that's what we teach in meditation, that when the mind is disturbed, stand back and watch it and say, okay, yeah, the mind is disturbed. Mind is happy. Okay, let it be. But I am not the mind. I am the infinite consciousness. I am Om, and mind is my equipment. And the equipment one day will be happy, one day will be sad, but why should I be affected? Yeah, if it's happy or sad, I take care of the situation. So this equanimity, this witness, this sakshi attitude should not only be in meditation, but should become part of my daily life. So daily I should be a witness of the mind and watch it. Let the mind not become my boss, but let me become the boss of the mind. But people think that such a person's life will be very cold. Where people are suffering, he has no, what do you call it, does not get affected. So the best example they give is of the mother. Now, a mother, if you look at her and the child is hurt, she'll say, oh, my little beta, come here, you're hurt. And she will, if he has a little wound, she will clean it and hug him. And oh, poor baby, don't cry. She will, and the child is happy, and make such a big fuss over him that he forgets his pain and he runs away. Now, the same mother, when she's cutting and she has a big cut on her finger from the knife or burnt from the stove, she keeps on working as if nothing has happened. The child, a little bit of a cut, she makes such a big fuss, but she herself gets a big cut or a burn, she doesn't. So the point is that the man of wisdom is like the mother. When somebody else is suffering, his heart bleeds. He said, oh, what can I do to make your life better? So it's not that person is a stone. In fact, the person becomes more kind and compassionate. But when he himself is having a problem, the world doesn't even know about it. So the point is that I should remain balanced. We are the opposite. When I have a problem, we keep complaining. But when somebody else has a problem, we tell them, you should be balanced in joy and sorrow. If that person has studied Vedanta, has studied the Gita, he himself will know that he has to be balanced. We don't need to remind him. The point is that when somebody else is suffering, our heart should be compassionate, calm, and sharing and helping. And then if the person asks, why is this happening to me? And after the problem is gone, then you can sit down and teach him Vedanta or ask him to read the Bhagavad Gita. But while the person is suffering, suppose there is a death or a sad situation, a wise person is compassionate. For himself, he is balanced in heat and cold, joy and sorrow. And the point is that does not mean that he or she doesn't work. In fact, this person works harder than anybody else because we always get the idea that to remain balanced means to do nothing. And same thing when our children are growing up, we teach them you have to work hard, you have to be successful. But when problems come, we are available to support them and let them know that life will give you problems, but I am always here to support you. And the change will come from the world, but I have to remain unaffected. Talking about change, I think this story I've told before, but it's worth telling. So this monk goes to buy pizza, and so he orders pizza with everything on it. He says, you know, he was a monk. He said, I want pizza with everything on it, vegetarian, everything on it. So the person makes pizza with everything. Monk gives $20, and the pizza was $12. So he waits, and this pizza man is not doing anything. So monk says, where is my change? So this guy had studied Vedanta. He said, sir, change comes from within. I guess he was smarter than the monk. So change has to come from within, and that can only happen with right knowledge.